Welcome to Brainstorm by Us Against Alzheimer's with our host, Merrill Comer. Merrill is a founding board member of Us Against Alzheimer's, a patient-centered nonprofit organization that has taken on the toughest problems in the fight against Alzheimer's disease. She is the author of the New York Times bestseller, Slow Dancing with a Stranger, which chronicles her journey as a caregiver for both her husband and her mother, who are living with Alzheimer's. Let's take a listen.
This is Brainstorm, and I'm Meryl Comer. September is World Alzheimer's Month. Currently, 50 million people worldwide are reported to have it. Two-thirds are women. This year's theme encourages us all to know the signs and symptoms so we can get the right diagnosis and support. Our guest is Dr. Rudy Tanzi, a recognized rock star in this field, is vice chair of neurology at Mass General and the Kennedy Professor of Neurology at Harvard University. In his spare time, he writes books with other famous people and has even released an album with Aerosmith's lead guitarist, Joe Perry, and Rudy on keyboard. Welcome, Dr. Tanzi. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Rudy, it's been more than a century since Alzheimer's was first discovered. Contrast what was known when you first started out in research and where we are today.
Well, I started researching Alzheimer's disease almost 40 years ago. I was 10 years old. No, I was a very young man. And we knew nothing. I mean, we knew about the pathology in the brain. I like to compare it to aliens coming down from another planet, and they're trying to understand football. And they get to the football stadium on Sunday, an hour or so after the game, and they're looking around at the trash in the stadium and the dug up dirt and grass, and they're trying to figure out what went on here. And that's where we were. But luckily, as we dissected the pathological features and got to the genes involved, you know, we found the gene that makes, for example, the amyloid plaque. That opened everything up. And that all started around the mid-80s. And now we're still learning from those seminal discoveries that we made in the 80s and 90s of the first Alzheimer's disease genes. And we're still exploring those genetics today and trying to translate that into new drug discovery.
You know, you've been consistent and on record that the beta amyloid plaque hypothesis that researchers have been chasing for decades has now been validated. In 2014, with your breakthrough on recreating Alzheimer's, are you sure it's been validated?
There's no doubt that amyloid causes the disease. There's the genetics, all the first four genes that are the most potent causes of Alzheimer's increase amyloid in the brain. I compare this to the journey of cholesterol and heart disease. You know, the first family that was studied by Brown and Goldstein before they got the Nobel Prize that had high cholesterol and heart disease was a very rare family with a very rare mutation that suggested high cholesterol caused heart disease. And nobody knew that back then. And they got a lot of criticism and people didn't believe them. And then it turns out if you want to manage heart disease, you have to treat cholesterol decades before the symptoms, right? You don't wait till somebody needs a bypass and say, that's okay, just take a statin, just take a cholesterol drug. It's highly analogous here. The early onset Alzheimer families with mutations that cause the disease under 60 tell us about the earliest events that you need to stop a decade or more before symptoms, just like the early onset heart disease patients told us about cholesterol. So it's not about whether amyloid matters, it's when to target it.
So let's look at the latest science with beta amyloid, tau tangles, and inflammation. If the goal is to catch Alzheimer's in patients before they show symptoms, what's the most promising strategy?
What we know from brain imaging over the last decade, the amyloid comes first. The amyloid comes up to three decades before symptoms. I like to say the amyloid's like a match. It causes tangles to form, and the tangles start to kill nerve cells. The tangles are like brush fires because they actually spread, they propagate. There are other ways to get tangles. It can be bangs to the head that will lead to CTE, you know, which football players might suffer from later on, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. So as these tangles spread, what we also know is very important. You can have lots of plaques and tangles in your brain and not get Alzheimer's if you don't have inflammation. So neuroinflammation is the forest fire. So amyloid's the match, comes three decades before. Right around that same time, you get the tangles and the brush fires, they spread. Those brush fires, as they set forest fires of neuroinflammation, that's what kills enough neurons to give you the disease. So this says there's two different strategies. If you're helping patients now, we have to put out that fire, neuroinflammation, or protect against it. it's kind of late to the game to blow out the match of amyloid or stomp out the brush fires of tangles. But if you want to prevent this disease in the future, find out who's making plaques and tangles decades before symptoms and stomp those out then. That's the strategy going forward that will solve this disease, prevent it, and help treat it in patients who are already suffering.
Rudy, for those families who have just received the diagnosis of the disease, what's the strategy there?
You know, if you've already been diagnosed, it means that the plaques and tangles have done their job for two decades or more. Those brush fires are burning, and there's already neuroinflammation in the brain. And luckily, my lab, besides discovering the amyloid gene back in the 80s, in the other genes that make amyloid in the 90s. In 2008, we discovered the first gene that causes neuroinflammation in Alzheimer's, CD33. And now we know about two dozen different genes that control the neuroinflammation, which is that response of the brain to the plaques and tangles. And that response of neuroinflammation kills the most nerve cells. So now we're coming up with new drugs and cocktails of drugs that will either help turn down the neuroinflammation, turn down the flame, or protect against it. And we've actually had a success in that regard with a new combination drug that we hope will be soon approved for ALS. And this came out of our Alzheimer's in a dish model and two drugs together that protect neurons, nerve cells against neuroinflammation. The ALS trial worked. We're looking at possible, if not probable, approval soon. And now we're trying those same drugs in Alzheimer's disease. So we are making progress toward being able to help symptomatic patients by hitting the neuroinflammation or protecting against it.
Rudy, do you feel drug regulators will have to lower the bar for testing new treatments if the hope is to slow progression rather than someone getting better?
Absolutely. See, we were stymied for so long that if we had a drug that safely stopped amyloid, the FDA would say, well, if you wanted to get it approved, you have to improve cognition. You have to make their memory better. That's like telling people who work in cardiology, oh, you have these things called statins that lower cholesterol. Well, you have to show that somebody who has congestive heart failure and needs a bypass is going to get better if you give them this cholesterol drug. That's what we were up against. Of course, you're not going to do that. You have to take the cholesterol drug decades before. Same thing with amyloid. So now that the Biogen amyloid drug aducanumab has been approved, I mean, we can go into all of the problems with that, right? I like to quote Jerry Garcia, in every silver lining, there's a shade of gray. Well, the silver lining here is that approval opened a door for people like me and my colleagues who are developing cheaper, safer drugs to hit amyloid. So if now we follow the predicate of Biogen's drug, and we show, hey, here's a little white powder that's dirt cheap that comes from a plant that does the same thing as the Biogen drug. It's so cheap and safe that the 38 million people in this country, 38 million who have amyloid in their brain and need to bring it down now to stop Alzheimer's later, just like we treat people with high cholesterol to stop heart disease later, we can give them this cheap little white powder for secondary prevention. So now you can urge a new program of early detection with blood tests, if necessary, imaging, early intervention. And that's what this new approval has now opened a door for, despite all of the problems that come with it, with the, we can talk about that come with the approval.
So Rudy, at the same time, a 40% prevention goal is being pushed by the National Brain Health Partnership and other organizations. Is prevention overhyped as a solution? And what do you do to protect your brain?
Prevention is the solution. I mean, the elephant in the room is that we wait until the brain degenerates to the point of dysfunction before we diagnose Alzheimer's disease. Imagine if in diabetes we said, we're going to wait until you lose half of your beta cells in your pancreas, and then we're going to diagnose diabetes and treat you. I mean, that'd be absurd, right? But that's what we do with Alzheimer's. Heart disease, same thing. We don't wait for the heart to need a bypass before we start looking for cholesterol and plaques in the arteries. We got to bring Alzheimer's up to where heart disease and other age-related diseases are. And that means prevention. So that we're going to need drugs that hit these early initiating events. But there's things we can do now with lifestyle to help reduce that initiating pathology.
So Rudy, in your book, Super Brain, and I'm not sure where you find time, that you wrote it with Deepak Chopra, you focus on brain plasticity and its ability to regenerate rather than that old popular notion that after a certain age, it's all downhill. Is it a use it or lose it theory?
We wrote three books together. Super Brain celebrates that the brain is much more resilient than you think, even after injury. Super Genes is about you can't change the DNA your parents gave you, but you can sculpt it with your lifestyle and your habits. And then that culminates in the third book, The Healing Self, where it talks about what you can do to try to turn down inflammation in your body and brain. And I came up based on that book with the acronym SHIELD. And SHIELD is sleep, 7 to 8 hours. H is handle stress. Meditation's good for you. I is interaction with others. Isolation is not good for you. E is exercise. Exercise stops inflammation, also helps get rid of the plaque. Sleep helps get rid of the amyloid plaque. L is learn new things, use it or lose it. Like you were saying, keep the neuroplasticity in the neurons going, learn new things, not just brain games, but actually watch a documentary, take up a new instrument, take up a new hobby. And D is diet. And through diet, if you keep your bacteria in your gut microbiome happy with a plant-based diet, Mediterranean diet, that will translate, we know from studies, into less inflammation and less plaque in the brain. So SHIELD is our way of doing this.
So quick question, do you practice what you preach?
So I absolutely practice SHIELD. I sleep 8 hours a night. I meditate. I stay interactive. I exercise. I have my recumbent bike behind me and my treadmill on that side. I'm vegetarian in terms of diet, Mediterranean diet, plant-based diet. And for simulation of new synapses, I have my keyboards back there. And you know, when you play the keyboards, if you're writing new material, I write new music all the time, I put it on my website. That's a type, that creative stimulation, creativity, task-oriented work is the best thing for your brain. The worst thing is indulging or ruminating about the past or being anxious about the future. That actually literally drives Alzheimer's pathology. So the more you're in the moment doing new things that are creative and task-driven, the better it is for your brain. So I try to do that when I get a break during the day as well.
Why are rock stars and scientists similar?
It's about the creative process, right? And the best scientist, I like to say, emphasize the search and research, not the re. They do new things, innovative things, rather than just try to replicate past things. Although both are important. And in music, it's the same thing. Joe Perry and I, when we met, we talked about the fact that the reason why Joe Perry and Aerosmith is so successful is that they're not derivative. If you look at the chords of their songs, similar to the Beatles, they're not just doing typical, you know, 1-4-5 rock and roll chords. They do pretty complex chord work in all of their songs. So trying to be original and creative and doing something different, whether it's music or science, is what leads to success, but it's also what's best for your brain. And there's something in your brain called the default mode network that you need. It creates who you are, it's your ego, but it can also cause problems because that's where Alzheimer's pathology travels. So the more you're stuck in that default mode network, meaning you're not in the moment, you're obsessing about the past, ruminating, or you're anxious about the future, that triggers that network to make more Alzheimer's pathology. So the more you can take time to be mindful, that's why I wrote the books with Deepak Chopra. If you can be mindful, meditate, learn to be in the moment, be creative, be task-driven, don't sit around idling, worrying about things from the past or the future, this actually will help reduce Alzheimer's pathology as you age. And I think it's a natural thing for musicians and scientists, so I like to hope we're a little bit more protected. And during COVID, I took on the topic of the pandemic and wrote a series of pieces and recorded them. And I have a website. I don't make any money from it. It's all free, but I get many thousands of downloads and listens per day. And I let people take the music for free. I just like to think that after I'm gone, my music might still be around.
What's the best bit of advice you have to offer those of us 40 plus?
I would say practice SHIELD. Insist on 8 hours of sleep a day, even if that means taking naps. You see, every time you go through dreams and then deep sleep, you have a rinse cycle in the brain, getting rid of amyloid in the brain. And I think it's also attitude. I think, like my friend Joe Perry always says to me, always remember your best show is ahead of you. That no matter how old you are, no matter how much you've achieved, right, your best show is still ahead of you.
So to that point, Rudy, what's the biggest game changer or prediction you're willing to make for 2025?
Well, I think by 2025, there's a good chance that given the recent activity with the FDA, that there will be cheaper, safer drugs that will be available. Right now, we know the Biogen drug is too expensive to use in the people who need it the most, the people before symptoms who already have amyloid. If you already have symptoms, it's a little too late to guarantee cognitive benefit. So we're going to have lots of, I think, repurposed drugs, natural products, and other cheap drugs that hit the amyloid and remove it that will be cheap enough and safe enough that we can go to the FDA and say, let us diagnose who has amyloid in their brain. There's a blood test already, and let's make it actionable and get them on this cheap, safe drug to bring the amyloid down. And then the other side of the coin, for those who are already starting symptoms, we will have new drugs that will hit inflammation and protect the nerve cells against inflammation. And we already have two drugs that worked in ALS from a company I started called Amylyx, and we're trying those in Alzheimer's, and there's more to come. So I'm very optimistic about 2025.
Our thanks to Dr. Rudy Tanzi for joining us on World Alzheimer's Day. I'm Errol Comer, and this has been Brainstorm. Check out brainguide.org or the homepage at Us Against Alzheimer's.
Support for Brainstorm by Us Against Alzheimer's comes from Karen and Chris Siegel, Biogen, and Eisai. Subscribe to Brainstorm through your favorite podcast platform and join us for new episodes on the first and third Tuesday of every month.